back.
If once is good, twice is definitely better. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, March 28th, 2024. To finish the story, actually, let me just roll through some of the headlines on RBN right now for posterity's sake. The Godfrey Blump clip we just played in the first hour, that's good stuff. G. Edward Griffin interview, the one world government is exposed, now what? Bill banning chemtrails passes Tennessee Senate. And, you know, there are people on social media talking about that, saying, you know, a few years ago, this was, you know, you were a tinfoil hat wearing crazy person if you even suggested things like this. And the bill banning chemtrails passes in the Tennessee Senate. There are other things like this floating around the country. And, you know, you can go to Harvard's solar geoengineering research program, geoengineering.environment.harvard.edu. We aim to produce research that advances solar geoengineering science and technology frontier, publishing high-impact papers. So, you know, again, this gets back to the Stockholm Syndrome thing where, you know, your kidnapper is doing that thing on your head and telling you it's raining. It's raining. I mean, how dare you insinuate anything otherwise? And then people fall for the Jedi mind trick and they wander around like good little Autobots saying, no, it's raining. It's raining. How dare you insinuate anything otherwise? Harvard Geoengineering, Solar Geoengineering Research Program. Yeah, but that's research, Chris. I mean, that's not, it's not like they're actually doing anything about it. There was that time when, which CIA director said that stratospheric aerosol injection, it's inexpensive. It's only about $10 billion to spray the whole planet. Wouldn't cost that much at all. It's not chemtrails, it's stratospheric aerosol injection. I need to get to the on this day stuff too. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf died on this day, right? In 1941. So did Ivan the Terrible in 1584, the Marquis de Condorcet, Jim Thorpe, Dwight D. Eisenhower, the military-industrial complex, stratospheric aerosol injection, CIA Director John Brennan discusses global threats, June 29, 2016. Not really sticking to the headlines. You got to stick to the headlines, man. And let me see. Maybe we can actually play one of these clips. 9005. Brennan, you know, geoengineering. Kind of like Harvard's solar geoengineering research program. We gotta dim the sun. We gotta hurry up and dim the sun. I wonder if this is it. Is this it? Oh, that's not it. Minute 43 seconds. I think this is it. Yeah, I think this is it. So from C-SPAN. And then there's the, you know, Julian Assange's last words about intelligent evil dust. Anyway, That's too far, though. That's too far. We can't say that yet. Let me see. John Brennan, CIA director. It's not suspicious. Come on. Stop it. The CIA director says, you know, we can spray the earth, but don't believe anyone but me when they talk about this. Everyone else is crazy. If you didn't hear it from us, it never happened. That's exactly what Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. I think this clip is it. On C-SPAN, user clip, implementation of geoengineering, which is an excerpt, user clip from the C-SPAN video, CIA Director John Brennan on global threats. CIA Director John Brennan was interviewed by PBS's Judy Woodruff about a range of issues, including this. I think this is it. Can we play that, please? And this was at the CFR, by the way. Of course, Council on Foreign Relations. Go ahead, please.
Significantly larger proportions of retired people and older people relative to working age citizens. Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI. A method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI.
Oh, John Brennan, you're such a conspiracy theorist. What a crazy guy. Can you believe that? Tinfoil hat wearing guy. How crazy. I think it's interesting how many people could watch that and listen to, I don't know, friends, family, loved ones say the same thing. You could use the same words. What do you think about stratospheric aerosol injection? What is that? Well, seeding the clouds to change weather patterns and things like that. Oh my gosh, you're talking about chemtrails? That's just crazy talk. No, it's relatively inexpensive. You could spray the whole planet for about $10 billion. Oh my gosh. Where do you get these crazy ideas? I don't know. CIA director speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations? I don't know. And they would, you know, you could play the video for them and say the same thing, same words, quote the same. And, you know, some people will say that never happened. And you're crazy for thinking crazy things like that. So there's that. That's fun. Yes, he really said that. John Brennan, CIA director. Trust the CIA because they're trustworthy. In fact, they're probably the only people we can trust. Wink, wink. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. It's funny how many people you know, start in one place and end up, they sort of funnel one direction. James Schlesinger is a guy like that. One of the poster children. We need to play it, an excerpt, so you understand what I'm talking about. Maybe we'll do that, actually. 80 Years of Biowar. I mentioned that yesterday from Larry's Global Research article email to the FourDiedTrying.com documentary series to Aaron Good's American Exception YouTube channel to the interview, the Devil's Chess Club, BCC 26 interview, 80 Years of Biowar Censorship, Jeffrey K. David Talbot is the title of the video. Maybe we should do a little bit of that since we're throwing clips out. I haven't gone through the headlines. We're running short on time. What do you do? That's kind of an extended clip. Maybe we'll save that for tomorrow. So this just reminds me of the bill banning chemtrails passes the Tennessee Senate. Let me go through these headlines real quick. Finish a thought. Gavin Newsom snipes at Idaho after state bans diversity requirements for colleges. Ridiculous. Watch. Fighter Julian Arosa challenges transgender swimmer Leah Thomas to join UFC so he can, you know, have an intense moment of fellowship. Can Trump deliver on his campaign promise? Part one. Police, Scotland to stop investigating crimes while enforcing new anti-free speech law. That's the communitarian way, dear comrades. Modern vaccine recipients have greater risk of developing chronic condition. And what's, and, you know, study, what's particularly alarming about this, again, you probably have had this experience where you've talked to folks and they will tell you, yeah, I'm having all these health problems and all this kind of stuff. And you say, when did you start noticing? Well, you know, it was right about this time. And you say, didn't you get that COVID shot or something like that? Didn't you get your 17th booster around that day? Wasn't it like the day before that? Nah, it can't be. Yeah, I did, but nah, it can't be that. I mean, it can't be that. Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates say it's not that, so it can't be that. I mean, Bill Gates is trustworthy. Just ask Rick Allen Jones. Just ask Jeffrey Epstein. It's fascinating how that works. The manipulation, how effective Stockholm Syndrome actually is. Dollar down 20% since 2020. Biden blames greed. It's inflation. We already explained that. We played the Godfrey Bloom quotes. It's fictional reserve banking. It's fictional reserve banking. That's the way to put it. It really is. We played the Investopedia video last week. I actually found, by the way, I misspoke. Speaking of that, I have the correction. I misspoke when I said that it had disappeared. It was relocated, the video, that the clip that we played. The page that I referred to is gone with no forwarding address. That's easy to, you know, you can redirect so that seamlessly you go from the old page to the new page. They didn't do that at Investopedia. You get a 500 error, I think. But there's a new page. In any case, the video is astonishing. If you really pay attention, you watch that video, 90 seconds. What the heck, man? Vestopedia. Fractional reserve banking. How it works. What it is and how it works. And it was, the page used to be called How Money is Created. Now they have a page titled Fractional Reserve Banking, What It Is and How It Works. And I don't know. I guess maybe we should throw that in the mix for posterity's sake. This is the scheme. This is the scheme. This is how it works. This is how wealth is confiscated. I read the Keynesian quote. We got Bretton Woods back in 1944, which is a debt-based system. How do you spend your way out of, you know, trouble into prosperity? You can't. Think about it. But, you know, this is what we heard. We're going to spend our way to prosperity. We're going to incur debt on debt on debt that can never be repaid. But don't worry, we have a solution for that too. Why wouldn't we listen to the British? I mean, come on. It's a great idea. It's a Ponzi scheme is what it is. Who said that? Somebody said that recently. See if I can find that. Anyway, is it possible that we can... Cool. So, you know, the Investopedia video, How Money is Created, I think is what it's actually... The video is titled, I want to say. Fractional Reserve Banking. What it is and how it works is the page now. Anyway, this is the video. Can we play the video, please?
Fractional reserve banking is the banking system most countries use today. It requires banks to hold only a fraction of the money their customers deposit. That amount is the reserve requirement, and in most countries, it is set by the central bank. Banks can loan the rest of their deposits to other customers, which serves to expand the economy. It works like this. Banks accept deposits from individuals and businesses, providing them with savings and checking accounts in return. Banks can loan out the bulk of those deposits to other customers to buy homes or cars, start businesses, or to fund other projects. If a customer deposits $100,000 into a bank and the reserve requirement is 5%, the bank can loan $95,000 out to other customers. Once the bank has loaned out $95,000, it in essence has created $195,000. Customers borrow that $95,000 and deposit some or all of it into other banks. If the reserve requirement is still 5%, then the other banks can loan $90,250 to new customers, and the process keeps repeating itself. Financial crisis occurs when the fractional banking system breaks down and the money supply does not expand. Many U.S. banks had to shut down during the Great Depression because so many people attempted to withdraw their money at the same time. Today, safeguards exist to prevent such an occurrence.
Safeguards exist to prevent such an occurrence. Oh my gosh. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Ask you, honey, can't run. You know I hate to ask so late, but the moment's finally come, and there won't be time to change your mind.
Golly. I want to, you know, when you do this kind of stuff, when you create a fictional reserve Ponzi scheme, by the way, that video was the one that I was thinking of was Eric Weinstein talking to Tom Bilou. The video is titled Society is a Ponzi Scheme, Warning on Population Collapse and Hopeless Generation. I mentioned Toynbee yesterday. And, you know, we played the clip, Alan Watt from the Wayback Machine back in 2006, mentioning Toynbee. And he had some interesting things to say. I had a million things bounce around in my mind. How do you collapse a society in three steps? What did Carol Quigley say about how to get elected? What three things do you need to get elected? Speaking of population collapse, here's an interesting fun fact. And speaking of the Wayback Machine, Derry Brownfield way back in, what was it, 2002? He wrote that paper that you can still find over at News with Views, Smart Growth, People Per Acre. Yeah, I'd talk about this at some point. We need these like little essential things that everyone should know that we all kind of sort of take for granted, but most people don't know. Most Americans, I don't think, have any idea. So he talked about population density. A couple of fun facts for you. Population density is, you know, this sustainable communities idea. UN Agenda 21, which became Agenda 2030 because you didn't swallow that boot whole by the turn of the 21st century world, America. So we got to hurry up and do this. We need at least 100 households per acre, maybe 400 or 500 households per acre as quick as possible. So here's what's ironic about this. John B. Calhoun did his Universe 25 experiment back in the late 50s, early 60s. Guess what he discovered? There was a tipping point in the rat utopias that he created. He did the Universe 25 thing, repeated the experiment a few times. Every time, same outcome. What happened? There was a tipping point, a moment, watershed moment, where all of a sudden the utopian rat population collapses. It doesn't decline, it collapses. What is the pivotal factor? According to John B. Calhoun, it was population density. The same thing that the UN Agenda 21, 2030, sustainable development, you know, SDG kind of stuff advocates. Get us to a population density where the population will collapse. You know, remember the Georgia Guidestones that got demolished? 500 million people. You know, we want to rewild the North American continent, push people out to the, you know, and create these multi-use things where you can live and work in prison in one building. 15-minute cities. You don't need personal transportation. You can walk. Here's a bicycle. Here you go. You want a skateboard? You want a hoverboard like in Back to the Future? Cool, huh? Last point of irony on this. You can go to datacommons.org and see, based on government data, the population density ranking for all the states in America. Alaska is lowest, next is Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, New Mexico, Idaho. Guess where the most population dense place in America is by orders of magnitude? I'll tell you where when we come back. Stick around. Right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. I was digging in the break for a Derry Brownfield clip. Didn't find what I was looking for. Back in the day, but you know, is it me or is this crazy? Universe 25, John B. Calhoun, Behavioral Sync is the term that Calhoun coined for this. And, you know, I mean, gosh, disaster capitalism, shock doctrine, all the fun stuff. Why not listen to your kidnapper? Trust your kidnapper. It's okay. Yes, those suggestions all caused problems in the past, but that's okay. We have an answer for that. We have a solution for that. It's okay. Hug your kidnapper. Maybe that should be a t-shirt. Hug your kidnapper. Have you hugged your kidnapper today? And maybe we should have, you know, I mean, so get rid of the Federal Reserve. It's not federal. It's not reserve. Get rid of the 16th Amendment. Get rid of the national military establishment. Are you saying that we should abolish the military? Yeah, effectively. Repeal the National Security Act. Get rid of it all. If you do that, the Ponzi scheme stops. By the way, repeal all of those. Read Rene Wormser's book after the Reese Committee hearings. Foundations there. What? Their power and influence? their tax-exempt status. When foundations do good, they justify their tax-exempt status, which the people grant them. But we don't realize that. When they do harm, it can be immense harm. There's virtually no counterforce to oppose them. The harm has been immense over the last 1.25 centuries, shall we say. Just roll this stuff back. The ghost of Cecil Rhodes is alive and well in America, and it's not okay. For posterity's sake, get rid of these things. Get rid of the funny money Ponzi scheme. Get rid of the enforcement mechanism, the smart power enforcement mechanism. Trust us, we're your kidnappers. And, you know, never mind the big guns over my shoulder here. One of the guys that I was going to mention, I talked a little bit about our Operation Cyclone yesterday. Didn't get to Michael Vickers, poster child for C. Wright Mills Power Elite. C. Wright Mills Power Elite poster child, Michael Vickers. And, you know, James Schlesinger, guys like this. It's insane. I was a CIA guy. Vote for me. Wait a minute. Operative word was, maybe? I don't know. Never trust your kidnapper, except always trust your kidnapper. So, maybe we can juxtapose a couple of things. John Tester, he's not the only one, but he has these commercials. There's the one with the kids. I'm not sure I can find that. I don't think this is it. No, that's not it. My child had a condition. And John Tester fought to, you know, this one's, I'll get hate mail for this, but we'll do these two. Never give up. Why do you hate veterans, Chris? I don't hate veterans, but I despise the so-called foreign policy nonsense that is killing American people and people abroad. Destroying lives, whether you die immediately or you're just a shattered person. You know, when you institutionalize this kind of stuff, it's not good. I want to just juxtapose these things, then we'll go to the phones. John Tester's commercial, which is like everywhere else. Walter E. Williams told us very simple terms what the problem with this is. If we went back, let's just, you know, I have the America founding thing that I'm going through also in conjunction with the war stuff. America, Christian nation or not. So there is that issue. But even if we just went back to constitutional orthodoxy, would be a step in the right direction. And again, speaking of Alan Watt, what did he remind us? When you don't follow the Constitution, when it says only the president can declare war, right? No, only Congress can declare war. What was the last time that happened? Yet we've spent $14 trillion in the last 20 years. Places. Congress didn't declare war. There is an authorization for use of military force that has expanded. It has metastasized to include every place on the whole earth and maybe on Mars too. Being led by the nose. Hooks in the jaw in the Bible. It's kind of the thing that reminds me of. Anyway, can we play the Tester clip? Never gave up. Can we do that real fast?
I was exposed to Agent Orange.
David been sick for a long time.
Like other veterans, I filled out form after form, but the VA denied coverage because they didn't believe my health issues were related to toxic exposure.
John Tester took up Dave's fight. John never gave up, and the PACT Act became law. Finally, Dave's getting the full care he earned.
No one listened to me before John.
But that's what Montanans do for each other.
I'm John Tester, and I approve this message.
Isn't that great? I mean, that's wonderful. Except it's unconstitutional. How dare you? I know. I'm a heretic for even suggesting such a thing. Why do you hate veterans? You know, you can't tell the truth because it's just, you know, we don't. We don't want to hear it. Let's juxtapose that with Walter E. Williams real quick. Constitutional orthodoxy. Whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, this is what it says. So this is what Walter Williams says about, there's a better clip. Maybe I can find that and I'll put these together later, but there's a better clip that that illustrates Walter E. Williams' point. Can we play the Walter E. Williams clip, please? Why the founders did not want a democracy? The excerpt.
Any politician who would rigorously live up to his oath of office to uphold and defend the United States Constitution, he just would not get elected to office by the American people. Because what politicians reflect, they reflect the values and views of the American people. That is, those who will elect them to office. Now, some people might say, well, gee, Williams, that's a little bit strong. Well, look, we just might ask ourselves, what would happen to a politician who had the vision of, let's say, James Madison, the acknowledged father of the United States Constitution? And in 1794, Congress appropriated $15,000 to help some French refugees. And James Madison stood on the floor of the House irate, and he said, and I'm virtually quoting him, he says, I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article in the Constitution that authorizes Congress to spend the money of their constituents for the purposes of benevolence. Now, if you look at the federal budget, 2/3 to 3/4 of it is for the purposes of benevolence. Now, you say, ask yourself, what would the American people do to a politician or to anybody running for office who would make a statement like Madison did, or make another statement? Madison said, also said, he said that charity is not a legitimate function of government. Now, can you imagine what the American people would do to a politician who said that? And so what I'm saying is that politicians are reflecting the values and views of the people who elect them to office. And unfortunately, the values and views of most Americans are distinct from those of the founders of our nation.
So, Walter Williams, has the Tea Party movement been a positive in your view in American politics?
Well, I think so. It has been a movement, or it's been a group of people who are saying, well, look, let's go back to the Constitution. Let's have constitutional principles. But whether they'll be successful or not is another matter. And keep in mind that, you know, if you look at the founders of our nation, they wanted very, very limited government. If you read Madison's in Federalist Paper, I think it's 45 or 48, and when he was trying to describe to the citizens of New York what was in the Constitution, to kind of get the citizens of New York to ratify the Constitution, he said that the powers that we delegated to the federal government are few and well-defined and restricted mostly to external affairs. Those left with the people and the states are indefinite and numerous. Now, if you turn that upside down, you'd have what we have today. That is, the powers of the federal government are indefinite and numerous, and those of the people in the state are limited and well-defined.
I mean, it doesn't get
in your book, Liberty versus the Tyranny of Socialism, you quote Tom Paine.
That's it, you know. nuggets, less than 5 minutes. Anyway, to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Headlines from the New York Post. Today, New York Police Department Sergeants Union warns anti-police New York Yorkians to stay away from slain cop Jonathan Diller's funeral, including Council Speaker Adams and Public Advocate Williams. And today and tomorrow will be the wake for Jonathan Diller, and apparently Donald Trump will be going to the wake this afternoon, New York Times.
This is where we're at. The propaganda is so dumbed down, so blunted, that we're going to telegraph exactly what's going to happen, what not to do, how it's going to play out. And when we see the theatrics unfold in real time, everyone will be mystified. It's all been telegraphed. There's the script literally laid out for you. But you know what?
Well,
it's not a conspiracy. There's no way it's a conspiracy.
I have a feeling that we had the full moon, I believe, on the 25th. And kind of feel the buildup of the tension.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there is the headline on RBN. Let me look. Where's the headline? Speaking of the bridge, Black Swan event, General Flynn raises questions. Who can trust General Flynn? First Earther, General Flynn, Satanist. Elizabeth Clare Prophet endorsing Flynn. This one. Why is the National Guard being deployed during the Great American Eclipse on April 8th? Anyway, that's the one
Well, you can ask the question, how long do you think the Francis Scott Key Bridge is going to sit there in the water? And, how many months is that going to be? Because what that's doing now is blocking all the eastern seaboard trade in and out of the United States.
Yeah.
And that is a serious problem. And higher powers. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Who was it that said it was... it'll come to me. CBS interview. He said it was one of the senators, the one who's been interviewed several times. He said they had, I think, four ships that were waiting to go out, and they had 20. And this was yesterday, so this is just, 2 days. Senator Chris Van Hollen, he was the one who said they had 20 ships waiting to come in.
Yep. I believe it.
20 barges, really. Shipping.
And none of those letters of credit for all those goods will be paid now. And all that crap. On all these ships, we'll have to probably go to the recovery, which will be sold for 10 cents on the dollar, probably, see?
Yeah.
And the same forces that are blowing up the chicken farms and taking away from the infrastructure are responsible for this bridge job. I'm convinced of it.
Absolutely.
It wasn't some idiot pilot. It wasn't some idiot captain that decided he's going to take revenge.
It's going to be
would never happen.
Yeah, it's going to be plausible deniability. And how is this filmed? That's amazing that it was caught so well on film, but in plausibly deniable fashion. It's not perfectly framed, but it's darn near perfectly framed. And you see the ship blinking, which raises questions. Was it a Vault 7 kind of thing? Was it something else? There's plausible deniability. I doubt anyone will go to prison. If anyone goes to prison over it, it will be the guy who says, well, this is actually what happened. It'll be the whistleblower. Mark my words. Yeah. No one goes to prison except someone who says this is what actually happened. Or has an accident.
This is, this is the stuff of what, not conspiracies, but this is the stuff of sabotage. Sabotaging the American way of life, of the American economy. And it's happening on the Eastern Seaboard right now. So, anyway.
So we have, we have a document down here. And I presume you're familiar with it. In it, it says, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It has that language. The guy who included that turn of phrase had some other words, and I forget. It always escapes me. But he said something similar. When you see this happening, this kind of thing happening, and it goes one direction, then, you know, you should be looking over your shoulder, which reminds me of, again, you know, Goldfinger. Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, third time is enemy action. When we look around and it's nothing but hits, we're taking hits everywhere. There's never any, oh my gosh, look at this. This was a serendipitous kind of, it's always disaster capitalism and shock doctrine everywhere, and we need to declare a state of emergency like with the bridge. You got to start asking yourself, is something else going on here? Is this coordinated, orchestrated?
Well, then could we put this in the context of the 2020-2030 agenda for, what do they call that thing? The agenda for the... sustainability, thank you.
Yeah.
See? So, I think there's going to be problems in New York City, but who knows, maybe cooler heads will prevail. So.
I have to wonder about some of the acolytes who have been groomed in Toynbee-esque RIIA, CFR, WEF, young global leader sort of fashion, you know, Milner's kindergarten or Dewey's kindergarten kind of stuff. Do at some point they start asking themselves questions like, man, you know, I was told a certain story, but this is not good. This is destroying lives. Like, at what point do you have some kind of crisis of conscience where you say, yeah, I know it's all for the greater good, but man, it's doing a lot of harm.
And if they try to come in out of the cold, they'll be liquidated.
Yeah.
When they took that devil's, when they made a deal with the devil, there's going to be no way for them to get out except, they're going to be in a shallow grave or maybe not even found. So this is what happened. So, again, the New York subway is another one that's ready to blow too. Cause somebody got thrown off the, waiting for the train up in Harlem and they just got pushed in front of the train.
Yeah.
A dead, of course. And then, you've got the Democrats saying, oh, well, no, crime isn't up because statistically we can show that, right? Everybody in New York now is all paranoid, so it's a big issue.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Thank you much.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, get back to you then.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye now. Bye-bye.
All right. So before we go back to the phones, quick random thoughts. You know, these guys are the cat's paw. It's interesting. Speaking of New York, New York Mayor John Francis Hyland, in his autobiography, wrote about the cat's paw. And he said, you know, the real menace of our republic is the invisible government, which is like a giant octopus that sprawls its slimy legs over our cities, states, and nation. They practically control both parties, write political platforms, make cat's paws of party leaders. Here's a fun fact. This will probably change after I say it, but if you go to Merriam-Webster and look up cat's paw, Number two definition, from the fable of the monkey that used a cat's paw to draw chestnuts from the fire. And they quote D.J. Boorstin, the government became the cat's paw of foreign powers. Speaking of John Hyland, go to Abraham Isaac Kook's Wikipedia entry and look at that picture of New York Mayor Hyland with these folks behind him. Tell me if that doesn't look like gangs in New York and Hyland looks like a political hostage. Just saying. Back to the phones. Fred in Michigan, thanks for calling. Welcome. Oh, we lost Fred. Sorry, Fred. This is how things really work. Seriously, the picture of John Francis Hyland, New York Mayor Hyland, with these guys behind him, man, and Abraham Isaac Kook with his, you know, left hand in the jacket there. He was probably just cold. You know, his hand was cold. These guys, this is a sinister bunch, man. This is probably where Daniel Day-Lewis got his inspiration for his character in Gangs in New York. You look at these guys in the background, man. This is a sinister bunch. And, you know, Kook is in the foreground. Hyland is just behind him. Kook in the foreground with his left hand in his jacket. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. His hand was probably cold, even though Hyland doesn't have a jacket and his hand isn't in his jacket. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, FactBit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Rasayana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.